Well, Pastor Joel, his wife Stacy, Luna, and Jose are just jewels for us here at Living Waters, just jewels. It'll be 2 years this July since they've been here. Let's give them a big hand for their heart of service. And Stacy is using her gifts in the Thursday night women's Bible study as a teacher. She's also really leading and facilitating an early morning prayer, intercessory prayer meeting on Wednesday mornings. And and God is just using this family. Pastor Joel, he's very organized person, very diligent person, but he's a man of prayer, he's a man of worship, and a man of the Word of God. And so him being a part of this worship series is right. You're going to just see another level of passion and heart for God in the Lord through this message today. Let me pray for you, Joel. Lord Jesus Christ, you are by your Spirit being honored in this service from beginning to end. And Lord Jesus, speak loudly through Pastor Joel today by your Holy Spirit. May we hear him, but more deeply hear you, not just speak to our hearts, but also transform us, Lord God. Yes. Father, we don't want to stay the same. We want to go somewhere in our relationship with you. We want to go somewhere in our worship with you. We want to be different after today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. How's everybody doing? All right. Give me about 20 minutes to get situated here. I'm going to set my timer so I stay within the four-hour time frame Stephen's giving us. So. Y'all think I'm joking? All right, I am so thankful for the opportunity to share with you all this morning. This worship series, I just believe, is going to be have such an impact on us. I think it's going to take us to a new level in worship. God is doing something. As I was listening to Eden Nethery's message, I was hearing her talking about hearing God's voice and obeying, and that is an element of worship. When we hear God's voice and we obey, that is worship. As I was listening to Donna share about her RTF and her heart just getting restored and cleaning out doubt and anxiety and those other things that were there, is going to take her into a deeper place of worship. So our RTF ministry, our women's brunch, and just the other things that God is doing is going to propel us into a deeper level of worship. Men's group, women's group, our Wednesday morning prayer, we meet here at 7 o'clock each morning. So it's going to be a great series. So today I'm going to be talking about worship and what worship is and the heart of worship. Part two is going to be Mother's Day, and Pastor Stephen is going to be tying in worship into the beauty of motherhood on Mother's Day. And then part three, he will be talking about expressions in worship. I'm going to touch a little bit on expressions, but not too much. But I want to use a glove as an illustration to start off. So worship takes place, and we can go to the next slide here. So this series is called In Spirit and in Truth. So this is going to be our core passage, and Jesus talks about how true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And so true worship starts on the inside of what God is doing on the inside, and it manifests itself as we walk in truth. We walk out the truth of God's word. So if you think of this glove as you, your body, okay, and you think of this, my hand is the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit comes into my spirit, and whatever his spirit does, I do. So if my fingers are moving, the glove is moving. If his spirit is moving in me, I am moving. I'm responding to him. And so we want to be people who respond to his spirit and allow him to make us pure, to make us holy, so that our worship before him can be pure and holy and a deeper level of worship. So we're going to talk about different facets of worship, but the theme I want you to get is our walk is worship. Our walk with the Lord is worship. So that is going to be kind of our overview. So to the note takers, I'm sorry. I'm going to be going pretty fast on the first part of this message. If you like taking notes, you might have time to write down the reference, you know, John 4:24 or, you know, Proverbs 4:23. You might have time to write some of those down, but I'm going to be going pretty fast through a lot of these. I apologize. So if you want to get your phone out, take pictures, you know, it's going to go fast. Maybe not that fast, but or I can just get you the message notes later. You can email me. I was actually going to use one of these, and I didn't really think about it. And then Coben came over, and I'm closing my eyes, and I'm worshiping and open, and there he is. He's holding this out to me. It's so precious. So I was going to point out, use this card, you know, just send the email to find out more at living-waters.org on this card and ask for the notes if you want the notes, and I'll get it to you. But we're going to be going pretty quick. There's just so much content that we're going to cover. So first question, what do you think of when you hear the word worship? Singing, okay. What else? Kneeling, okay. There's lots of things that we can think of when we think of worship. We could think of kneeling, singing, giving, bowing, raising our hands. There's so many location, you know, a worship service. There's so many facets to worship. And like a diamond that has many facets to it, worship has many different facets to it. We're going to go through these kind of quickly. But one is location. You know, we talk about a worship service or a worship night or a worship concert. You know, sometimes location is tied to worship. And if we look at the Samaritan woman's conversation with Jesus in John 4, she said, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And so sometimes worship is tied to location, you know, associated with location. Prayer, of course, is associated with worship. Psalm 139, 14 says, "I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." So, of course, prayer is going to be a facet to worship. Also, music, that was mentioned. Ephesians 5:19 says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Psalm 100 verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing." So music is definitely a facet to worship, and we hear that quite a bit. Giving is another element of worship, another facet to worship. Deuteronomy says, "And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God." There's many, many other verses we could look at in regard to worship through giving, but that is certainly one facet. Physical expressions. This is something Pastor Stephen will elaborate on part three. "Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name." Psalm 95:6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." So expressions of worship is a facet of worship. Objects, instruments, and furnishings. Leviticus 4, the ceremonial worship of the Jewish people, there were lots of furnishings. And in Leviticus 4:7, it says, "And the priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord." I'm going to pause there for a minute. There is some serious depth and symbolism in the Old Testament when it comes to seeing Jesus and the people of God in the Old Testament. We're going to talk about it this morning. It just gets me so excited and fired up, and I hope it does you too. "Which is in the tabernacle of meeting, and he shall pour the remaining blood of the bull at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of meeting." So, you know, we have an altar here that you can come and pray and seek the Lord. We have tables, you know, when we have communion, we set out the elements very nice and orderly, you know, to honor the taking of communion. And so we have furnishings. We have musical instruments. Praise the Lord with the harp. We still haven't bought a harp yet, Stephen. We probably need to get a harp. "Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. And so, you know, we have instruments. Those are facets of worship. You know, our furnishings, our instruments. And thankfulness. When Abraham sent his servant to go find a bride for his son Isaac, he found the family of Rebekah. And he got so excited that God had led him to Rebekah. And he says, "And I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son." Circumcision was a huge element of worship for the Jewish people. And that was a covenant that God had made with Abraham. It says that in Genesis 17, "This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised." So there are so many facets to worship, like that diamond we looked at. So many different facets to worship. And while there are different expressions of worship, there's different elements of worship, I want to talk about the heart of worship. Where does it all start? Where should it all begin? What is pleasing worship to the Lord? So what kind of worship is pleasing to the Lord? Let's look at Proverbs 4:23. Now, this is not our key passage, but this is so, so important. If you're taking notes, write this one down. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Kind of like that hand in the glove. You know, the hand would be like the heart, and whatever, you know, is going on in the heart, it's going to spring out. You know, it's going to control what happens coming out of that. And so some translations say, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." So we're going to be talking about what goes on in the heart is going to flow outward. And so we've got this concept of what's going on in our spirit and walking out as a result of what the Lord does in our spirit. We walk out his truth according to his word. So we're going to be talking about worshiping in spirit and in truth. And that's where it takes us to John 4:20-24. We read this first part just a little while ago. So this is going to be our main text. It says, and this is the woman at the well in Samaria talking to Jesus. And she says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father.'" That was probably quite a shock to her because, you know, even today, especially back then, you know, people would travel for days to go to Jerusalem. And before the temple was built, they would go to Shiloh and travel days to Shiloh for the sacrifices. And so they put a lot of time in, and also, you know, the location was very key in most cases. So this was probably a surprise to her. "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." He's going to repeat that twice here. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. There it is again. So he is calling us to worship him in spirit and in truth. I think this is probably the best definition Scripture gives us for what worship is. It's not just about a place. It's not just about music. It's not just about giving. It's not just about kneeling or raising your hands or giving an expression. Those things are good, and we need both. We need it all. But our heart, we need to worship in spirit and in truth, walking out the truth of God's word from what he is doing in our spirit. Okay? So there are several scriptures as I was studying and just, you know, doing all this cross-referencing. It was interesting to see the theme of spirit and truth working hand in hand. Look at Psalm 51:6. This is David speaking. Behold, you desire truth. There's truth in the inward parts, in our spirit and in truth. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. James 3:14-17, this is where there's a battle between truth and some things in the heart that shouldn't be there, like in this case, envy and self-seeking. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, in your spirit, do not boast and lie against the truth. So this is a battle between truth and envy and self-seeking. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Let's stop there for a minute. So the wisdom that is from above, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and does a deep work in our heart, it produces a purity in our heart. Okay? It's first, God's wisdom is first pure. And then once that starts to happen, that purity, that holiness, then it flows out, like we talked about, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. So when we start off with purity in our hearts from the wisdom that's from above, it results in being peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So there may be times where I get choked up. Because for several months, my worship has been tainted by not being peaceable, not being gentle with my words, not willing to yield, not being full of mercy or good fruits, not being full of partiality. Showing partiality and being hypocritical. So this has been a struggle for me, you know, and later on, I'll talk a little bit more about that journey, but for months, the Lord's been working on me in these areas, because I don't want my worship tainted by anything. John 17:17, sanctify them. We're going back to this concept of in spirit and in truth. Sanctify them, which means set them apart, make them holy. That takes place in our spirit, right? By your truth, spirit and in truth. Your word is truth. That was Jesus praying for his disciples. This one is Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the Spirit, where does the Spirit dwell? Inside of us, in our spirit. Is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So again, when we allow the Holy Spirit to do a deep work in our lives, we walk that out in truth according to God's word. Finally, Psalm 119:11, your word, Where's truth mentioned in this verse? Your word, yes. So that indicates truth. I've hidden in my heart. That represents spirit. Yeah. Your word, your truth, I've hidden in my heart, in my spirit, that I might not sin against you. So again, we see this spirit and truth concept and theme going on. So, is the Lord concerned? We talked about all the elements of worship, right? And we're talking about the heart of worship. Is the Lord concerned with the heart of worship or the expression of worship? The answer is yes. He's concerned about our hearts, our heart of worship, purity, holiness. He's also concerned about the expression of worship. So if you're struggling with something in your heart, unforgiveness, bitterness, you know, anxiety or depression or something, and you just don't feel like raising your hands, you can raise your hands in a posture of, Lord, I'm pressing through. I'm struggling to forgive this person. I've got hurt in my heart, but I'm reaching out to you to ask you, in a receiving mode, to ask you to help me forgive that person. Help me overcome the hurt. If you're dealing with pride and, you know, bitterness and arrogance, something I've been dealing with for months, you can kneel down before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm dealing with pride. I need more humility. I'm bowing before you. And I need more of you. And so we're dealing, you know, we're talking about what God wants to do in the heart, but also how he wants to manifest that in our lives through the expression. So the expressions are important. What kind of worship is pleasing to the Lord? Let's look at Psalm 96:9. So again, I'm not downplaying the expressions here, but I'm saying worship starts in the heart, okay? We want to express our worship. We want to raise our hands, close our eyes, kneel, bow, jump, whatever, you know. If we're filled with the joy of the Lord, you may want to jump and, you know, praise the Lord, however you want. But these passages, you're not going to see really anything about music or song, raising your hands, kneeling down. It's all about the heart. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. That's worship that pleases the Lord. It's interesting that Justin Ross used this one last week, because this is a passage that I'd already been planning on using this week. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Going back to that last verse, that reasonable service, that word service, is translated worship. So if you present, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. It is our reasonable worship. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, I heard somebody a while back say that you hear, whoever thought of this was just brilliant, but you know, you hear people talk about, and pastors and preachers, you talk about, they talk about, you know, well, take up your cross and follow Jesus. You know, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow him. But nobody ever talks about getting on your cross. You don't hear a lot of people talk about getting on your cross and following Jesus that way. There are some times you're going to have to carry your cross. There's times you're going to have to get on your cross. So when you get on your cross, how much control do you have over your life? Zero. How much control did Jesus have? when he was on the cross. He had zero. He completely surrendered everything to Jesus, to the Father. He gave it all. He gave everything. 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul says, I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. So he's not just carrying his cross, he's getting on the cross and crucifying himself and dying to himself. If there is anything that is tainting our worship and causing us to causing our worship to be not pleasing to the Lord, it's got to die. And again, that's the journey that he's had me on. I've had to get on that cross so many times and just say, you know what? I'm not going to say that. Instead of being passive aggressive and shutting down, I'm going to communicate. I'm going to die to myself. I'm not going to let my emotions control me. I'm going to control my emotions. So how do we get there? How do we get to a place where we are, our worship is pleasing to the Lord, and we are cleansed of all this junk that may be inside of us? How do we get there? We have to understand the blood of Jesus. So it's going to look like I'm taking a different direction here with the Old Testament. I'm going to tie it all together. But I want you to look at, there's so much depth in the Old Testament. I want you to see just how profound God's word is. The priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood seven times before the Lord, in front of the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of meeting, and he shall pour the remaining blood of the bull at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So this image right here is an artist's rendition of what is taking place in those scriptures. So the high priest would take that blood of the sacrificial animal, and he would sprinkle it seven times on the floor in front of the curtain, the veil, that went into the Holy of Holies, or the Most Holy Place, is what it was also called. And that Most Holy Place could only be entered by the high priest once a year. So nobody ever went in there, except the high priest, once a year. So you may be thinking, okay, you know, that's an interesting Jewish ritual. What does that have to do with me? Like sprinkling the blood seven times in front of the veil. What does that mean? Let's look at talk about the wounds of Jesus for a minute. Come on. There we go. So Jesus sweat drops of blood, okay? He was beaten all over his side, you know, with the lashes on his sides. He was beaten on his face and He was beaten on his face and his beard was plucked out. So he's bleeding through it from his face. Okay? Hang on. Drops of blood, his face, his side. Yeah, they were on three. He had thorns on his head. He was bleeding from his head. He was bleeding from his hands, both hands, and he was bleeding from his feet, and he had a sword pierced in his side. He bled seven times. So what does that mean? Matthew 27:50-51, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. So this place called the Holy of Holies that no man could go into the presence of God except the high priest once a year, Jesus, by sprinkling his blood seven times, enabled that resulted in that veil being torn open, symbolizing that now we can enter the presence of God. Isn't God's word amazing? So take a look at this word justified. So what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross is, you know, the Jewish people didn't have to sacrifice animals anymore. You know, Jesus was the sacrifice that ended all sacrifices. And so what Jesus did for us is he justifies us through his blood. So we are seen as innocent before him, and we can enter his presence as innocent individuals that whose sin he no longer sees. So this is the way I want you to think about the word justified. It's justified, never sinned at all. It's a good way to think about it. You'll probably not forget it. I didn't come up with that. I wish I did, but it's justified, never sinned at all. And that's what that means. He doesn't see our sin. We can now enter into worship. We can go in before him because Jesus paid the ultimate price to make that happen. So we talked about the scripture in Leviticus 4 where it talks about, I think it was 4, that talks about the sweet incense. This is the altar of incense. Here, my voice keeps cracking, excuse me. I knew you were giggling, Luna. I could hear it over there. She gives me a hard time every time my voice cracks. So, okay, I think I'm good now. So this is, on the left, is the altar of incense, right? So they would, the high priest would, you know, burn the incense. This was a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. And they would also sprinkle the blood on the altar of incense, which was made out of gold, okay? This is a picture of the saved and sanctified believer. Because look at what Paul says, and I'm going to go back to the picture. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. So in the same way that this altar of incense is made of gold, he wants us to be pure like gold. In the same way that the blood was sprinkled on this altar of incense, Jesus' blood has to be sprinkled on us to make us pure like gold. And in the same way that they're burning incense, which is a sweet-smelling aroma, can you see how it's the aroma, the incense is coming back up to the high priest's nose? I'm sure he's smelling that strong, right? Our lives, symbolized by this altar of incense, it's pure like gold. It's had the blood applied to it like the blood is applied to us. And then we become a sweet-smelling fragrance to God as our sweet-smelling fragrance is coming up to his nostrils, just like this fragrance is coming up to the priest's smell. So, and then, you know, on the right, you've got the other priest showing, you know, preparing the showbread. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is all over the Old Testament, folks. If you like puzzles, for like a hobby, get into the Old Testament. There are puzzles in there. There are mysteries in there that you're like, that's Jesus. That's talking about Jesus. This Jewish lampstand, there's a whole another story behind that I believe, you know, there's symbolism in that. You know, God gave specific instructions on how that was to be made. So we don't have time to get into that, but it's very interesting. So here's another one. If you look at the altar of sacrifice where the sacrificial lamb was, or bull or goat was sacrificed, the blood was applied to the four corners of the altar of burnt offering where this animal was sacrificed. And so Jesus, he's our Lamb of God, took away the sin of the world. His blood was poured out. If you look at the cross, it has four corners as well. It's an altar of sacrifice, Jesus sacrificing himself on the altar of the cross, and his blood was applied to the four corners of this altar. The hands, the feet, and the head from the thorns causing him to bleed on his head. So his blood was applied to the four corners of this altar, just like it was applied to the four corners of this altar. So much depth, and so my point is that Jesus makes a way for us to enter into his presence in worship with a pure and holy heart, but we have to walk it out. We can't just sit back and say, well, Jesus paid it. You know, I'm good. I'm saved. I'm forgiven. And you know, he's cleansed me. You know, there's a condition to that cleansing. We'll look at that in 1 John here in a little bit. But we have to walk this out. So I've been doing some pastoral counseling with a pastoral coach, Eddie Freeman. He came here. Many of you probably remember him. And he talks about content and application, you know, not just focus on the content, but also apply it to your life. So I want to look at the content, which is the truth of what we're talking about, and application, how we apply that to our spirit, going back to the spirit and truth concept here. So Jesus made a way, truth. Jesus made a way for us to enter the Holy of Holies and pure worship unto him. Application. The Holy Spirit, through the work of Christ on the cross, empowers us to surrender every aspect of our lives unto the Lord. I want you to look at this passage from 1 John chapter 1. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see the if? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is something we have to walk out, okay? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. There's that spirit and truth thing again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we've talked about a lot of content here, and we're kind of, I want to bring it down to a funnel and talk specifically about forgiveness. As I've been praying over this message, the Lord's just been prompting me to say that there are some of you who are harboring unforgiveness in your heart. There are people, you know, there are people that you've not forgiven. That forgiveness has to take place, folks. You've got to forgive. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It doesn't get any clearer than that. We have to forgive to be forgiven. And we don't want our worship unto the Lord to be tainted with unforgiveness, for there to be any kind of separation between us and the Father. We have to forgive. Will you think right now, will you ask the Lord, is there anybody that you want me to forgive that I've not forgiven? Some of you, you already know, like immediately, who you've not forgiven. This is from Matthew. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So you see how Jesus is saying the heart, you know, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Not just the spirit part, the truth part. So we have God working in our spirit. You know, somebody has something against me and I need to go make it right. So I'm going to walk it out in truth. According to the truth of God's word, I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to make it right. And so We looked at James 3:17. We'll read it again. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So I shared a little bit with you about my journey, struggling with pride and humility. And as far as worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, I just want to share something with you that I've kind of been doing over the last few years, is writing out scripture cards when I'm struggling with a certain aspect of my life. So you can see my struggle. Look at that. So, you know, when I'm struggling with identity in Christ, I wrote down every scripture I could find on identity in Christ. There they are. When I was struggling with, you know, knowing the will of God, seeking the will of God, there's my cards. The will of God. I don't know what those are. That was just a study on the name of the Lord. This is power history. The kingdom of God. But the ones that I've really that have really impacted me are trust. When we had the election in 2020, I was just really anxious, like what's going to happen in our nation. Our son Tyler was going to be going into the military, and I was concerned about his safety and is he going to be deployed. And so our pastor at that time is the one that got me started doing this, and he said, I want you to look at every scripture you can find on trust. Write it down on a note card. So I did. And you can see it's pretty thick. And that I read those over and over and over and over. You know, they that trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. They cannot be moved. And it's just like one after another. And it helped. I got God's word in my spirit, and it helped. I was in anxiety and depression. I didn't even know what depression felt like because I'd never experienced it. And Stacy said, honey, I think you're dealing with depression. I didn't want to paint. I'm an artist. I like to do artwork. I didn't want to paint. I didn't want to do anything fun. I was dealing with depression, but I got God's word in me, and it helped bring me out of that. Spiritual warfare. You know, what kind of authority do I have in Christ, you know, to overcome this demonic activity and this, you know, anxiety and depression and things like that? So that was a thick one. See that. And then humility. This is the one I've been working on the last few months. Because my pride has reared its ugly head recently, and I've not shown humility in lots of areas of my life. And so I want to encourage you, whatever you have to do to get God's word inside of you, do it. And don't just carry your cross. Get on your cross. Let this be a visual. Don't just carry your cross. Get on the cross. Because when you get on the cross, and you're here, you have no control. There is nothing. Like, you can't do anything, right? You've yielded complete control to the Lord. And that's what he calls us to. If there's an ounce of unforgiveness, there's an ounce of bitterness. If you're disgruntled about something, I've heard about complaining taking place in the church. Folks, that can't happen. That's tainting our worship to the Lord, who paid the ultimate price. And he died to his flesh. The Bible says that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He had to learn obedience through suffering. And if Jesus himself had to learn obedience through suffering, how much more are we going to have to? We're not exempt from that. And so we have to learn obedience through our suffering. And what, you know, Lord, what do you want to do in me? How do you want me to handle this? I raise my hands to you in worship. Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'm just putting myself in receiving mode. Would you help me forgive this person? Would you help me overcome this hurt? Would you help me overcome this disappointment? Would you help me overcome pornography? Whatever it is, anxiety, depression, you name it, surrender it to him and die to yourself. Jesus is worth it. He paid the ultimate price. And I've been wrestling with this back and forth. It's like this, you know, I'll have a victory against the enemy, and I feel like I just slugged him, and he's down. And then he comes back and slugs me, and then I slug him again. I'll have a victory, and then I'll have a setback, and I'll have a victory, and I'll have a setback. And it's been a struggle, and that's where the spiritual warfare stuff comes in. I'm pulling out the spiritual warfare cards. And, you know, that's where we wield our sword, you know, God's word. So I hope this has been helpful. The worship team can come back up. And as we worship, I want to mention one more verse. So we don't just surrender. To surrender, we don't just carry our cross, we get on it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then finally, this is where we're at the bottom of the funnel. Very, very specific stuff, folks. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Please don't harden your hearts. There's somebody in here that needs to forgive. There's somebody in here that needs to let go of hurts. There's somebody in here that, by the help of the Holy Spirit, he will help you overcome whatever that is that's holding back your worship or tainting your worship. So as we sing, I want to encourage you to be attentive to the voice of the Lord. And don't harden your heart, but obey him in whatever he's telling you to do. And let your worship be pure and holy and spotless before him.
Take me in by the blood of the Lamb.
Him and worshiping Him now and forever. You are an eternal being. If Jesus Christ lives in you because you've turned from your sins and you've turned to Him because you've surrendered to Him, believe that His death on the cross and His resurrection was enough to save you. You are an eternal being and you get to step into worship that goes on right now in the heavenlies, in the throne room, and will continue for eternity. Lord, what a privilege it is that we will continue to be worshipers for the rest of our lives here on earth and into eternity. What a privilege. Lord, we pray that this week is a week of extra worship, Lord, that this has just provided a grace. It's provided an inspiration to step into more worship, deeper worship, more free worship this week. Why? Just because. Why? Because we love you. Why? Because it blesses you. Why? Because we want to honor you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's altar ministry people here on either side of the altar area. You can receive prayer from them. We want to be a house of prayer. You can stay here for some more worship if this is a good time for you. You can go out in the gathering place and fellowship. And we're going to bless mothers and women of all ages next Sunday. This is so easy to include the beauty of the Lord and the beauty of womanhood. Of a woman's heart, there's a beauty that God took from heaven and put in women that you're going to be encouraged with next week. So, oh yeah, I should invite my neighbor. Oh yeah, I should invite my friend, my aunt, my cousin to this. It's not just for mothers, it's for women. And so I'm excited about this service. You'll get your flowers at the end. Lord, bless our church family to be a deeper worshipers in spirit and in truth. God, that's our heart's desire. We want that. Lord, we pray this week there's a marked difference. This was a marked week. Thank you, Lord, for using Brother Joel and that authenticity coming through, that purity of the fires of the Holy Spirit coming through. Lord, bless and increase him, Lord God, in his ministry, his preaching and teaching. Increase him, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we're blessed this week. It's going to be a great week. See you soon.